Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Let's get it. It's another edition of KFC Radio on the Barstool Sports Network. The video for this, if you're watching, is probably going to be funny. I feel like we're going to look like Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles, just doing a podcast, looking up at the sky, because we have such a bad connection. Looking at the screen actually makes it harder. So we're just doing a really long phone call, John.
So we're probably going to talk over each other a lot.
All the time.
It's going to be something you deal with for the next hour and a half to 2.5 hours, because I don't know how long this podcast is going to be.
Honestly, I would say I have two questions, and this kind of ties into what I wanted to talk about nicely. I would say that transitioning over to what's the term? Teleconferencing. I think it's been relatively smooth. Like, I don't think we've lost a step. You know, it's like a little awkward, but I feel like the audience hasn't really been like, oh my God, this is brutal. So
I think that's a testament to Nick. I hate it. The production of it might be fine. I hate it.
It doesn't seem that different to me.
The show itself isn't that different to me, but everything around it is. When we're in the office, we can just get in the studio and go. Here, I have to fucking move around the house, find where the internet's the best. I have to do shows in front of my family. I have to do construction. Avoid. Yeah. I don't know. And then you just get in your own head about different shit. And I don't think the show for me is as good.
I miss being able to. It's been very hard for me. I don't know why. Because when I'm in the studio, I just tell guests like, "Hey, do you mind just filming this video?" And we get ATI every time. I find it incredibly hard to get them to answer the internet via Zoom, and I don't know why. Is it any different?
You think it would be easier because it's just right. They don't have to get up. But for some reason, you're right.
And I miss when a guest comes in and you dap it up and you talk for even just 10 seconds before you start recording. Makes all the difference. So I don't know what the product has been like. Maybe you guys can let us know if it's been, because I keep wondering two things. One,
don't let us know if it's been bad. Just let us know if it's been good.
Right. That's no bad feedback right now. Fuck you if you're trying to give us bad feedback. It's not our fault.
But if it's been great, please let us know.
If people will just quickly abandon Zoom interviews and go back to the old way. And also,
you gotta fucking hope so, right?
I don't know, though, because I think you can get more guests this way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean interviews. I meant meetings. I'm speaking for other jobs and shit like that. Yeah, interviews.
Well, I don't know, dude. With Twitter, okay, this is my overarching question for everything, because I was going to ask about Zoom interviews. I was going to ask about fashion, and now I can ask about work. Twitter comes out and says you never have to go back to work. I think that other digital companies are going to follow. Do you think that when things resume, we will see long lasting dramatic changes in the world? Right now I'm wondering, will people, Rhea had a tweet the other day being I'm never going to wear high heels again. And I saw you in your suit for the SportsCenter thing. And I was I haven't seen anybody dressed up in fucking months. And will there be a paradigm shift where people don't care about those things anymore? Or will it be when your social media app updates and you're all in a frenzy for 2 days and then you just go back to normal?
No, I think I will go back to normal. I've worn probably the same 4 shirts this whole time, but no, when I get to go outside again, I'll go back to normal. I think largely people might even step out even harder, at least for the first few months, be like, all right, I've been saving up. First of all, I've been saving up. Everything's clean. Second of all, I've been saving money, so I've been buying clothes like a son of a bitch. It's time to step out in all of these.
Get these fits off, boy. I wonder
if that's the lasting impression of coronavirus, that people wear sweatpants all the time, I'm going to be absolutely furious.
Dude, I would consider coronavirus a positive if that's the lasting impression.
That's fucking bullshit. If you just start wearing sweatpants everywhere, and I'm not talking athleisure sweatpants, which are in fashion. I'm talking if you fucking scumbags start dressing like some asshole from Quincy with dirty white sneakers and fucking White Sox Dave fucking ripped sweatpants shorts. Fucking, like, you all have to move to an island. That's some fucking bullshit. At least look like you showered today. Again, if you want to wear like comfortable pants, that's fine. There are acceptable versions of comfortable pants. But if we're just stepping out in fucking baggy sweatpants and flats, what would we even do on this planet anymore?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It depends on how long this goes. It depends on what the world looks like.
How can being stuck inside even make you not want to look good anymore? Like the optics of what is attractive haven't changed. Well, you've always known what's comfortable and what wasn't.
Yes, but when all that people have to offer is just like a little fucking square with your face, you know, there's not the same incentive to dress and look good.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, why would that stick afterwards when you're out in public again? It's not like I learned sweatpants are comfortable in quarantine.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, though. Like, how long would this need to go for people to, like, for there to be a paradigm shift about all things culture? Like, I wonder if I think about, like, real estate brokers. When they see that a big company like Twitter is like, we're not going to need buildings anymore. Like, that's probably a fucking problem for commercial real estate brokers, you know?
I think we've been trending that way for anyway, a long time. And this is just kind of the last accelerant to get us over the hump. I mean, we've definitely been trending. Like a traveling salesman used to be a thing. Like the fucking guy who drove around in his car. And like that was like the first step of being like, okay, this person doesn't need to come into the office every day. Right. And then I think it's just continued to progress. And there are like jobs like creatives, like what we do. Like I don't really like this. I don't hate it. It's not the worst thing in the world. But like I get a lot of my ideas and shit like when we're just bullshitting on our desk.
Yeah.
So without that, it doesn't, like, you don't just bullshit on Zoom. So that's hard. But I think that I would hope that commercial real estate and shit has been planning for this. Because if they haven't, then they just haven't seen the future coming.
I don't know, dude. You look around at like there's going to be a bunch of old fucking white people who just get wiped out. Like the old guy who can't connect to Zoom, the politicians who don't know how to do this digital shit. I mean, I think they're just going to, you know, when like when Joe Paterno just died because it was too stressful. I think a bunch of old people are just going to fucking die because you have to use computers and nothing else. And they just can't do it.
Yeah. And I think I was watching Catastrophe with my parents, and we've been watching Mindhunter and Catastrophe, which is just so much weird sex stuff.
Oh my God, John, what kind of fucking masochist are you?
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been bad. And like, I've seen both the shows I've seen both of those shows. And if you'd asked me before I watched with my parents, are they overly sexual or anything like that? I would have said, no, not at all. And boy, has my answer changed on that.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure in the first couple episodes of Catastrophe, they're talking about putting a finger in his ass, aren't they?
No, the first couple episodes are actually fine. It's like season two is where it gets to be too much. Okay. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is he gets that job at Brightband where they had a prescription drug that killed a bunch of old white dudes. And he was like, look, if you were going to have killed off a bunch of people, the best ones to have done it, the easiest comeback is the old white guys.
Right.
So if you look at it like that, you're looking at me. I'm just going.
I can't decide. All right, let's just go full genocidal. If we're going to wipe out a group of society, is that who your pick is?
Oh, without a doubt.
I can't decide between that and the hillbillies, though.
Well, that, Well, magicians are one, but I just don't want people to yell at me. And I feel like if I do old white guys, I'll have the least amount of people yelling at me.
John, that was powerful. That was so succinct and so to the point. And so fucking real. And I'll be honest, I don't even know what it really means, but it also means everything. I just don't want to get yelled at anymore. A fucking men, brother. I want to sit here, drink a Miller Lite, and not deal with any bullshit. That's like the fucking game right now, dude.
And it's just like the people who would yell at you if you wiped out old white dudes are the easiest people to dismiss too. Where like, shut up, Timothy. I don't care about your grandfather. Like, it's fucking, like whatever, dude. It's everything else. I feel like I don't know. Plus, old white dude names you just don't feel sad for either, really. Like Pop Pop. Wow.
See you later.
Pop Pop, you basically turn Pop Pop into an inanimate object. You put that death is on your blood. I mean, that blood is on your hands for choosing that name. Pop Pop is a toy, not your fucking grandfather, dude.
Oh, we buried Pop Pop. Is that your goldfish or your fucking grandfather? I don't know. I can't tell the difference.
Like if I wiped out your abuelo, I feel awful.
Right.
Abuelo's so beautiful.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. Pop Pop's your Nazi ass grandfather.
When I think of Pop Pop, I think of Dennis's grandfather and Sonny.
A Nazi. That is his name. A
literal Nazi.
He's a fucking old Nazi in bed eating fucking weeks old soup with long ass toenails. That's what Pop Pop is.
I want to propose something right now that we have to prepare for, I think. I want to say that the imagery of Charlie Kelly opening the door in full Nazi garb eating a banana is the single funniest, like, boom, scene in Always Sunny history. Just like, funny image. Like, whether it's Frank crawling out of the couch or everybody going through withdrawal with crack, what is your favorite just one shot of Always Sunny? When he opens that shit with a smile on his face eating a banana like a fucking monkey, I am in tears every time. It's so fucking funny.
Did you watch that recently, or are you just thinking Nazis right
now? The I guess it's Vice, I think, that does like a regular weekday marathon, and it's been all like season one recently. It is so fucking good, dude. That dude who asked, should I start The Office or Always Sunny?
Okay. Easy question.
Actually, you know what? Let's do that right now. This debate is brought to you.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Great question. Almost impossible that dude tweeted us and said, what show should I start? The Office, Always Sunny, Parks and Rec. I mean, he listed like every great American comedy.
He said, or anything else. Like, oh, I don't know.
Have you been in like a doomsday bunker for 25 years? Should I start Seinfeld or Friends or Sunny or The Office? But let's narrow it down. I think we can agree it's between The Office and Sunny.
Yes.
And I agree with your sentiment that The Office is more, I believe you said, culturally relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think pure funny goes to Sunny.
I said that too. I think pure funny does go to Sunny. But The Office, it's just like the Office is almost learning a new language,
right?
Where it's like you're gonna get things where you're just like, oh wow, I didn't even know what Ricky was talking about 5 years ago, but now I get that joke and that was fun.
I knew a girl who always said that's what she said and had no idea it came from Steve Carell in The Office.
I'm positive he gets credit for that. I'd heard that a lot. Obviously, they didn't write that, but like that, I feel like that was a thing already.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to give him credit for popularizing it then.
Yeah. But
Put it this way. I can't tell you – I cannot give you a single name of anybody before that. So
No, you're right on that. But I always – that was the one I always kind of resented him getting. Because, like, I thought that he came from elsewhere. But that's neither here nor there.
At this point, though, because it just ties into our earlier conversation, will The Office within even just a couple of years now – be like outdated?
No.
You think that there'll always be like office dynamics that'll be understandable?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
If you're a fully digital world, and I mean, if you think about it, Dunder Mifflin is like the most archaic fucking company in the world, right? A paper company. Like,
yeah, but at the same time, an office is just a microcosm for society. Like I found the humor in The Office. I started watching it when I was like a sophomore in high school.
Right.
And I got it. And I've never really worked in an office. Now we're getting to pretty much we work in an office.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the idea, and I did this with Cubicle Chronicles and I do it with Mail Time. The overarching theme of all that is just annoying people.
Right.
Which always, that is for infinity. That will be understandable and relatable.
It's like I watched The Office in high school and I was like, oh, Dwight. Okay. That's James from elementary school. You can just like, everyone, you have that person in your life, no matter what. You might not work with them, but you can easily put all of yourselves in one room. Like, I'm Jim, of course, because I'm the fucking normal one, because everyone sees themselves as the normal one. Right. And then that's fucking, that's Dwight, that's Angela, that little hoe is Meredith. Like, you can put all of you in the room just knowing their personalities without having to be in an actual office.
That little, yo, when I think about Meredith, like, if I see that actress, I would think of, like, a booze bag hoe.
She said that, I remember I read an AMA with her. And, like, she wasn't a big actress. Like, it was weird. Like, The Office is very strange. Like, Phyllis was, like, a fucking costume designer.
Really?
And I think Meredith was a similar situation. Don't quote me on that. But she was talking about, like, how she just, like, had to dump him out all the time. She was like, yeah, I was just down, whatever. But like, she's like, yeah, I just dumped him out all the scenes. Dude, that actually reminds me, speaking of that, we are going all over the place and we're fucking working it. Maybe this whole not looking each other in the face thing works. In Parks and Rec, there's a very famous scene where Andy comes to the door, quote unquote, naked. And he's coming to surprise fucking – it's Karen in the office, but what's her name? Anne. He's coming to surprise Anne, but Leslie opens a door and sees him naked and like freaks out. And they kept trying to take, it was the end of the day, they kept trying to take, couldn't get it. So Andy just actually showed up naked on set. And that reaction is Leslie Knope, or now her name is escaping me, is Leslie Knope's actual reaction to seeing Andy Dwyer's dick. Can you imagine doing that right now?
Oh, that, I mean, you're going to fucking jail, bro.
Right? Like, you show a fucking unsolicited dick pic on set.
Dude, I respect that though, man. That's awesome. That's the craft. That's the.
And like, it's also different. Like, they're friends, right? Like, I forget what season this is, but you're a few seasons in and like, you're like, showing your dick to your friend is different than being like, hey, sucking your dick to get a role.
There'd be some, you know, production assistant who felt uncomfortable, you know, there'd be something that it's like, well, I'm not friends with him and he subjected me to that. But it was like, it's an awesome moment for fucking thespians, you know, like on stage. Come
that's
on.
That's the fucking modern version of dropping Alan Rickman in Die Hard.
Right.
Alan Rickman was dropped on what, 2 or 1 or whatever it was instead of 3. So that's actual surprise when he's falling.
Right.
That's actual surprise in Leslie's face because she saw
fucking, the dude on The Exorcist. The guy on The Exorcist, the director used to fire guns in the air, blanks, to just scare people, just to keep them, like, on edge. It was, like, psychotic, but that's why that movie's fucking awesome. All those things make greatness. It's crazy.
Except when Jared Leto sends you dildos and fucking pig's heads on set of Suicide Squad, because that movie still sucked.
Yeah, that was not well calculated.
he was sending, what, like, fucking tampons and used condoms? I don't know. That lore has gotten so out of control now for everything that he sent, but he sent a lot.
So wait, what's your final answer on Office or Sunny?
I stopped sticking with The Office. Watch The Office first because it's just I think first of all, I think The Office is easier, and I think it's a less dense watch. And then Sunny, I don't know. Also, Sunny is, I feel like The Office is a warm up because it's less of an undertaking, or maybe it's more of an undertaking. I forget because. This Sunny's got way more seasons, but The Office was like 20 episodes per season.
Yeah, but I also think that that The Office is going to hit you with like sentimental episodes. Like you'll tear up on The Office occasionally. You're not gonna with Sunny.
Yeah, no, there's no.
That's a good question. Do you think that they'll do like a sentimental goodbye with Sunny that could make you emotional?
No, I think Sunny's going to go just like the fucking guys would go. Like it's just I think we got a taste. Of it with Dennis, we're just like, all right, I'm fucking out of here. Turns the light out.
You know what would be perfect? Honestly, if I could script the ending to Sunny, I want them to literally throw Frank out in the trash. I want Frank to die. I want them to throw him in the alley, and they just like walk away, and that's it.
And they just go, all right, back to the bar, and they go back in, and that's it.
And that's it. Done. Do a little Sopranos cut. Frank's out in the trash. Maybe Roxy's there. I don't know. And
you know? Yeah, imagine that. Roxy's skeleton. They're curled up like Romeo together? And Juliet.
Yes. I think I'm with you. Probably do The Office first, but cannot go wrong. Oh, and one last thing. We'll do a little, make it a Barstool DVR segment. You talk about dense watches. I talked about it with my brother, but I got to talk about it with you. Middleditch and Schwartz.
Oh, yes.
I find it to be, and I know I'm prone to hyperbole. I might be a prisoner of the moment a lot. I've given it some time. I don't know if I'll tell you it's the funniest thing I've ever watched, but I will tell you, I'd never have laughed out loud at maybe anything other than like the best Chappelle stand-up than I did with Middleditch and Schwartz. I mean, it's 1 hour of nonstop, at least chuckles, if not like full-blown tears and like stomach-hurting wildness.
The first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, I'm in for something completely different than I've ever seen before. And I've never seen improv. I've never gone like once to like a drunken improv night. I've never seen good improv. I've never seen bad improv. I've never seen improv. I went completely blind.
Did you have an opinion of it before? Even having?
No, I read your blog. I didn't disagree with right. What you thought, but like I knew I cohorted with people who did think that. I wasn't like, you're a fucking loser, but I wasn't also rushing to go, obviously.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a trope to be like, you know, the annoying, over-the-top, try-hard actor guy. And I'm sure those exist in the improv world. And I'm sure Schwartz and Middleditch are just the best at it, where they do it in a very – like Trent texted me after I put that blog up, and he said the main thing that differentiated it for him was that they kind of break the fourth wall and acknowledge how fucking dumb this all is.
Right.
They're not like, you know, stay in character. This is important. They're just kind of like – I mean, when Middleditch is saying like – like you can definitely tell that Ben Schwartz wants to just throw wrenches into everything. And Middleditch is like, I really don't want to let that alien out of the closet because it's going to totally fuck up the storyline, dude. Like, I need you to understand how important it is to stay on track here. But I mean, did you feel anything? I felt it, 20 to 30 minutes in. I was like, boy, they're going to do this for like a full hour. Like, I think I kind of get the point. But that's when I thought it really picked up when they started doing the callbacks and they started having like 10 or 12 characters going. So if you're not into improv and you think that like it's repetitive, just try to push through that because that's when like the true brilliance comes out.
I thought episode 1 and 3 were my favorites, but one was far away my favorite. One, like, it's crazy. It's almost like I attribute it to Barstool luck now, where it's just like, what are the odds that that's the guy who's there? Like what? Like that guy who's telling a story with, and the moment of my first laugh out loud was when Schwartz goes, yeah, it's about time you take over again. When the friend is telling the story of their wedding.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be so good.
And well, I was like, really, like the Netflix machine is behind it. You have these big A-list stars. You're telling me that they didn't think to plant someone in the audience or have some material ahead of time. But then I remember what you just said, is that people are always accusing that with Barstool. And it's like, no, man, fact is stranger than fiction. And that's like the craziest people are the fucking weirdos out there.
Dude, like there's no way you can sit down and be like best friends for 3 years at a musical festival who met in a Walmart parking lot after trying to ditch each other. That's who the wedding is. Like
it's impossible.
That's too much. That's right. Too much. You can't do it.
Now, I have two more questions. One, who do you think the star is? Because I go back and forth on both of them. Like, he had the better episode. He had the better performance. And two, I want to get Ben Schwartz back in here. I've been DMing him for a little bit because when he was on the show, he was promoting Sonic. And he just kind of, like, you know, mentioned this at the very end.
Well, hang on here. He didn't just mention it. And we're going to have to hold him to this. He mentioned it. And then said he wants us to be the first test case who sees it on video first and then sees it live second. So he wanted us to be this guest for I think the show in New York was supposed to be in April. And obviously it got canceled. But when that show gets announced, Benny's getting called up. Being like, hey, where my
guest? Happening. Like I'm not one to hold people to podcast promises. Yeah, come on my show. Hey, let's get together. That one, Ben, we're coming for those fucking tickets, dude. But I have so many questions for him because I think the main thing I want to know is they put out 3 specials, right? What do you think their hit rate is? Do you think they did that 5 times, 10 times, 50 times?
I think their hit rate is 100% because I think if you're in the crowd, you're laughing 10 times harder.
You think that they just did 3 specials and they got 3 Netflix-worthy episodes?
Yeah, I think if you are, because I had when I first tweeted about it, I had people replying to me, be like, I saw it live and it was the funniest thing. I saw like a different.
Look right here. Our boy Nick just said they recorded. That is incredible. They recorded 4. They released 3. That I already said it was the most like brilliant comedy I ever saw. But the fact that they went 3 for 4 on it and had 3 not only airable but very laugh out loud funny specials is, I really think it's the most impressive thing I've ever seen in comedy. Seriously.
I'm pretty sure they said too, it wasn't even like the 4th one was bad. It was just like, we just put out our 3 best because we were only contracted to do 3, but we were able to record 4.
I mean, I love it. I think that is so fucking cool that those dudes are probably what they're, you know, when you talk about stereotypical tropes, they're like the theater kids, they're the improv nerds, whatever. And I think when I see those two on stage doing that, I'm like, these guys are fucking rock stars. Like, yeah. Girls are probably swooning. Dudes are jealous. They are like the stars of the world in my mind.
I think Middleditch is this comedic star. I think Schwartz is the writer. I think I could see them both like in their element out there. And I think Schwartz had a quote where he was like, writing TV shows and stuff like that has helped me with like quickly putting together the storylines.
Yeah.
But Middleditch made me laugh out loud. So the first episode's my favorite, obviously I said, and Middleditch made me laugh out loud the most in it. So I'm going to give him the star treatment, but he also looks the most a star. He looks like he's had quite a glow up from Silicon Valley.
Well, I also would say that the physical comedy that Middleditch does, like when he was doing Short Paul, and he sits like when he becomes a girl, when he becomes short, he like physically, you can see the difference in his body. It's wild. So if you haven't given it a shot, and I know there are Barstool fans, tons of them, if not like all of them, that would say improv show, no fucking way. I'm begging you to go watch Middleditch and Schwartz. If you ever thought our recommendations are good, this one is like a mortal fucking lock that you will laugh. So go watch it. And
dude, I woke up this morning. The first thing I said was, and I just said it in my head, but for some reason I was just like, "Be such a special occasion, and why are you so lit?" And he's like yelling at like the mom, Short Paul. It's
you know what I've been saying to myself. I'm loose. When you ask me to be loose, I tighten up. So many good quotes, and the fact that none of them are written is just fucking mind blowing. So that's it for Barstool DVR. It's Thursday, so it's time to get into Am I the Asshole?
I have 2 quick things, real quick. Sorry, it doesn't need a segment, so I just gotta say it. It's two fuck-ems, 2 throwback fuck-ems. 1, fuck Crocs kid.
Big time fuck Crocs kid. That dude, Crocs was a funny case, man. He claimed he wanted to just edit. He claimed he wanted to just be behind the scenes. And as soon as he got to Barstool, put the fucking Crocs on, put the wallpaper on his desk, all that shit. And I don't even really begrudge him for doing stupid shit on TikTok because, like, hey, that's the fucking game right now. But doing it during a fucking pandemic, like, people have masks on and you're dumping cereal on them and all that shit.
Yeah, like, it was tolerable. Not during the pandemic, where like I never saw much of it, but I'd be like, this isn't funny, but whatever. If things aren't funny to me, doesn't mean it's not funny to everybody. I'm fine with that. But this is like, you're being a legitimate fucking piece of shit.
Like a bad person, dude.
Like that fucking cereal video in fury. Kate crushed her blog on this, mm-hmm. But like the cereal one in particular, the yelling in people's faces, like coming on the counter at fucking takeout restaurants where fucking people are just trying to do their job is fucking bullshit. You're a scumbag, dude. You're a straight
scumbag. I mean, that is the that's the example of like when you're like clout chasing goes severely wrong. And I'm surprised it's like, I don't know, that dude should be just fucking erased. I don't know if he hasn't enough of a fan base to like stick with him, but I can't imagine anybody giving that dude the time of day anymore.
2, fuck him. A nice throwback fuck him again. Fuck hockey Twitter. Dude, they're going right now. There's a little thing happening where it was Colin Wilson was on I'm trying to find it real quick, let me check. Colin Wilson, I believe, the Avs, was on the Bar Down podcast, and it's like so I'm gonna read a thing. It says It says, if you ever wanted to talk about how restrictive hockey culture is from a young age, this is a great example. And it's it's Colin Wilson talking, and they're asking why he doesn't wear colored tape on his stick. And he's like, I just don't have it. And he's like, I think it's cool on – I'll read the full quote. Sorry, I'm a little all over the place. Because I want to know your opinion on this.
Is colored tape a cool thing, a lame thing, a normal thing?
It's an abnormal thing, which therefore makes it a lame thing.
Got it.
There is the theory that black tape – I don't know, it's not a theory. It's fact. Black tape hides the puck better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So goalies don't know when you're going to shoot shit like that, which is why I tentatively stuck up for whoever it was in San Francisco who said, like, Lamar Jackson hides the ball better.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't stick up for him, but I was like, that was something we were taught in hockey, where it's like if you have white tape, you're kind of a showboat. Black tape hides the puck.
Got it.
I was a white tape guy.
Naturally.
But the says, I want to know your opinion on this. What about colored tape? He says, colored tape? I don't know. I not for the NHL, but I think it's a pretty fun to experiment. And I think I get excited during those everyone can play night where you do warm up in rainbow tapes. I always want to keep that for the game. I think it's pretty dope style. So why don't you? He goes, I just don't have it in me. Can't get tripped by my teammates and the other team and still try to play the game. And he's getting roasted for like how restrictive and let's see what a quote is. When a player in your team says this, it's obvious the team in question is not nearly as progressive as they'd like to think.
Oh, come on.
How they'd like to use rainbow tape during a game. First of all, he's not talking about rainbow tape. He's talking about colored tape.
Oh, we're not talking about like coming out of the closet and making some grand statement that like fucking – you don't want to get your balls busted.
And it's like it's they're both true, but you lose people when you go so crazy with that. Like,
right. You're
right. Pro sports are not as progressive as they like to pretend. They are restrictive. I do like to think, probably just because it's what I associate the most with, that hockey would be the most progressive locker rooms. And they are kind of more like, I mean, probably because they're the closest to being gay already, but also if you can play, you can play. A lot of the stars have spoken out on that, where I think stars in other leagues have been a little more quiet. But a lot of guys have been like, look, if you can fucking score goals, you're on my line. I don't give a shit.
Absolutely. 100%.
But like, he's not talking about rainbow tape. He's talking about, dude, we used to make fun of guys like how they tape their knobs, how they tape their stick. Like, it's just, you just make fun of people. Absolutely. If you're doing something a little different, you make fun of them. It doesn't mean, you're gay. It just means like you're being weird.
It's not hateful. It's not bullying. It's probably like better for camaraderie in a way.
For busted balls and stuff like that. Like, I used to do, you kind of spin your tape, right? And then you kind of make your knob like that, and it like puts a grip on your knob. Mm-hmm. And again, at young age, I was taught that makes it easier to pick your stick up off the ice if you dropped it. And people be like, what are you, a fucking child? Like, you still need that knob. I didn't have a big fat knob up top, don't get me wrong. It was still a regular knob, but it just had like that, like a grip, twist grip. And it was like, I always got made fun of for it. No one said I was gay because it was just different than what other people did. So if I showed up in fucking, if I use red tape or if I use green tape, that would be weird and I'd get made fun of for it.
Yeah, I mean, you were gay for many other reasons, not your fucking hockey stick. Give me a break. Let's get into Am I the Asshole? Then we got our voicemails. And then we got our interviews today with Jimmy O. Yang, who is in, he's got a new special out. He's also in Space Force. And we got a fucking... another wild interview with Snooki and her boy Joey. If you know the show, you know how off the rails Joey gets. He tells a story on this show that is, I mean, it takes a lot to make me blush. And I was like, holy fucking shit, Joey.
I think even Snooki was blushing. She's his co-host.
I mean, Snooki has literally seen it all. And she was like, Jesus fucking Christ, Joseph. So two big interviews. Let's get into Am I the Asshole, though. It's brought to you by Fleischman Salon. John, I'm liking the flow. I'm liking the shaggy look. I think I'm just going to just let this go on for as long as I fucking can.
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, it's tough to get through the awkward phase, but I've been eating the Fleischman gummies, which keeps it like shiny and healthy and thick. You know what I've done? I've just started using the shampoo as body wash because I like the smell so much. I just got it all over me now.
Dude, you know what's tough? I gotta buy some new ones because shampoo usually lasts me a long time, but I'm at home now. And everyone's using it. Everyone, like my whole fucking family's using it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the women are using it. The men are using it. it's tough out here. I'm going to have to use promo code KFC and get myself some new shampoo.
You go to Fleischmann Salon. You go to shop. You use the code KFC. And you get 20% off. And if you use if you sign up for a subscription where you get regular deliveries, you get another 10% off. So you can get shampoo and conditioner. You can get hair paste. You can get hair cream. You can get the sea salt spray, which right now, if you're trying to keep your hair under control because you can't get haircuts, you put the salt in it, gives it a little bit of grit, keeps it down.
If you look at the only time I do my hair is for Barstool Sports Center, and I am fucking straight up Barry Melrose.
Yeah,
my hair is magnificent, and every time that is strictly because of the sea salt spray.
And everyone keeps asking me about the gummies. Like, it's the real deal, dude. You get the biotin, you get the vitamins in it, and they taste good. So you get a little snack in the morning. And, you know, take it, proof positive. You look at my hair, you know, probably fucking 6 years ago now when Erica first reached out to me, and you look at it now, I would say it improved. So why don't you jump on Erica's fucking, like MJ, just jump on the cape and ride the Fleischmann wave. And the good news is, she's using the money from the sales online to help continue to pay her, employees back in New York because they had to shut down their salons. So it's all kind of going to a good cause because, I mean, you know, you hear some of these dates thrown around. People are talking like first of the year in some companies, some crazy doomsday predictions. So you got to help out when you can. And the fact that she's willing to donate all this money, not donate, but it should have been profits, and now it's just being used to break even. It's a pretty cool move by her. She's friends with us. Her products work. The proof is in the pudding with our hair. If you,
I said it on Twitter the other day. I can't co-sign it any harder. We called it a bubble bath for your head. It's made me like shampooing. I usually don't shampoo. I shampoo with this shampoo because it makes me smell so good.
So go to FleischmannSalon.com. That's FLEISCHMAN. I mean, seriously, Eric. Lee, have a more difficult last name. Can we get a stage name for you now? What the fuck?
FleischmannSalon.com.
What?
Erica Stewart.
Yeah, done. Go to FleischmannSalon.com. Use the promo code KFC. Get 20% off. Get an additional 10% off when you sign up for regular delivery. Am I the asshole today?
Wait, I'm going to interrupt you again one more time. We got a lock on this show today. I saw you quote tweeted me from last night. My one little thing is actually a big thing. There was no more perfect time to bring it up than with the devil on the game.
I know.
I think we changed religion.
Why doesn't the devil make hell awesome? Counterpoint, how do we actually know that's not the case?
He would tell us. His job is to sow discord on earth. His job is to make people bad and get souls.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
By making hell awesome.
I feel like the devil, it's like the devil doesn't have a lot of followers on social media. I feel like God has like more followers and it's fake news, and that the devil just can't get the word out there. Like, come on down here. It's pretty fucking awesome.
You know what? You're not wrong with that. That's a fair take that he doesn't. Someone tweeted that at me too, where they say he doesn't have the PR machine that God has.
Right. Like anarchists are, you know, shunned by society. What if they're just right? What if, like, you know, the pentagram and all that shit is like because hell is where it's fucking at.
Well, the Church of Satan is one of the nicest Twitter accounts. The Church of Satan Twitter account is much like the Pornhub comment section, where it's like, oh, this is just a wholesome good person right here. This is these people are like the Church of Satan account, like, gets like mad at people who are being bad.
Yeah.
Like, he might just be the guy. He, the devil, the angel who fell from grace is actually just like,
well, doesn't that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, it's always the guy who's holier than thou that has the skeletons in his closet, and it's the guy who's gone through hell that is like the most, you know, my cards are on the table. Here's the fucking deal. Maybe we've just been reading this situation wrong for 2,000 years.
I think it checks out to me.
So are we anarchists? Are we going to be Satan worshippers?
I'm into it.
You got the at-home tattoo kit thingy. Put your money where your mouth is and just throw a pentagram on the arm.
Well, come back with a pentagram behind my ear.
Yeah, there you go. Just hide it behind the hair or something. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. If you made hell awesome, it's like, you know, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints sort of thing. People will be flocking to the gates of hell before they want to go to a party in heaven.
Yeah, I think so.
Now let's talk about the assholes of society. This one went viral as far as Am I the Asshole does. And I don't know what to make of it, because Am I the Asshole is a very, like we've been saying all along this episode, fact can be stranger than fiction. But sometimes you got to really question, are these stories real? Are they embellished? And the latest one that went viral about the Waffle House is, it's either going to be fact is stranger than fiction, or we're going to have to assume that, you know, there's a little bit of creative freedom here. So, John, read us this this waffle. And the reason why I am inclined to believe it is we know that all bets are off on Waffle House. So anything. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say before we even got there, is I believe it 100%, because one, people are obsessed with Waffle House. Two, people are obsessed with Waffle House for lunatics. It's like I lived in Tallahassee. I lived right next door to Waffle House for 2.5 years. And it was always like people were stunned. And I was like, I've never been. What do you mean you've never been? Like, why would I go to the diner? I don't have a need to go. But anyway, here it is. I know this sounds really weird, but here it is. My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years. We met and started dating when we were both in graduate school, but I dropped out to go back to college to pursue a different career. We are both finished now and live together, making a fairly nice combined income. Our income is relevant because we could afford to eat somewhere nice when we're out and about, but he always wants breakfast food. When he was a child, his dad couldn't stand eating breakfast type food in the afternoon or evenings, so his mom would make him waffles, pancakes, eggs, and bacon in the evening whenever his dad was busy or out of town. It's a wonderful and safe memory for him, and when he goes to his happy place, he says that's where he goes. My boyfriend is an incredibly nice and caring person. He's emotionally tuned into everything and recognizes arising issues a long time before they occur. He loves animals and is kind and gentle with every bug, bird, and pet that he comes across. He's almost always willing to turn the other cheek in social situations where somebody tries to insult or get aggressive towards him, and usually winds up diffusing the situation and having a productive discussion about whatever the issue was, except at Waffle House. I'm changing my mind. I'm out on it. Not true. There's too much unnecessary detail there.
I was going to say, like, we don't need to know about the backstory, the history, the father, because when you get to the punchline here, it's like, who fucking cares? But I guess if you wanted to paint the picture that this is a wholesome thing, he's not a violent guy, but
the loving, like caring for bugs and diffusing situations and having productive discussions. Who the fuck diffuses a situation as a productive discussion? No. Anyway.
So cut to the chase.
Okay, so I mean, I guess this is here. It's a lot. Anytime we're out, he wants to go to the same goddamn Waffle House and get breakfast food. I'm not a big eater, so I usually don't really care. I would just go and drink coffee and read my book while he enjoys his food. Crazy, too. Why are you reading your book? Let's for fucking dinner. But that became impossible once he and this cook started chirping at each other every time we went there. Boyfriend complained about his eggs one time because he likes them a little runny and they were served hard. The cook responded by giving him scrambled eggs. When he brought it up again, the cook served him 2 hard-boiled eggs. I think it's part of the cook's shtick, and it was kind of funny, to be honest. My boyfriend wasn't able to laugh it off. When we left, he was in kind of a bad mood, but we didn't really talk about it. The next week, we were going out getting some shopping done, and he wanted to go to Waffle House again. I suggested that we try out a different place, or at least a different Waffle House location, but he only wanted the same Waffle House. We went in and sat down, and once again, the same cook served his eggs wrong. My boyfriend sort of snapped, and he wasn't interested in messing around, and wanted the correct eggs. The cook then served him a piece of toast with a hole cut out in the middle with a fried egg in it. My boyfriend got really mad and threw the egg in the toast to the cook, which made the cook come around from behind the bar and throw it back at him. They ended up sort of wrestling, fighting until my boyfriend was like, this is bullshit, and walked out. Nobody got hurt, but a few people in there were watching and laughing a bit. This is the crazy part. My boyfriend keeps going back and ordering eggs and getting into fist fights with the same cook. It's almost a ritual at this point. My boyfriend orders runny eggs. The cook serves him another version of eggs, and they beat the shit out of each other. I quit going with him after the second fight, but he keeps going by himself. They're like Peter and the Giant Chicken from Family Guy. It's the weirdest thing. They physically fought 6 or 7 times over this.
That to me is like, we would have a video by now. There would be something, right? 6 or 7 fights in a Waffle House. No evidence. No, right?
Like I just said at the start of this. One, Waffle House people are passionate about their Waffle House.
Yes.
Two, people about Waffle House are passionate about being crazy.
Right.
Three, cooks at Waffle House are not here for the bullshit. They're There are people who have dealt with too many crazy people who love Waffle House, and they're at wit's end every single day they clock in. Every fucking day they clock in, they are
on the front lines. They're like coronavirus people. They're at the front line with the scales of society.
Right. They're a fucking runny egg order away from fucking stabbing someone.
Right.
They're probably on like work release. Like you don't just apply for a job at Waffle House. That's like when you're on probation.
Right. That's community service.
They're like, look, it's your last day. You need to prove today that you're finding work, or else you don't get, like, you go back to jail. Like, right. Fine, I'll take that job at the fucking Waffle House. It's that is what you do right before jail. You go, like, all right, I'll go to Waffle House.
I'll also say, I think there's a little bit of a cultural divide going on, because Black Twitter was like, this shit is true, bro. If you've ever been to the Waffle House, you know how possible this is. And I think a lot of the white folks are like, no way, can't possibly be. And then I always go back to, like, if it's not true, like, hire that person who posted this as a fucking blogger, because that's some KB type of shit where you're just cooking up fucking ideas in your brain. You should be writing TV scripts or whatever.
See, I also, like, if it's true, I'm jealous, because, like, I love this kind of passion and I wish I had it. But you know when girls in movies talk about how they want a passionate guy? That girl doesn't want me. There's nothing in, like, that fucking, like, I must one-up this man. I must have this man. He's questioned my manhood and I must take him down. I'd be like, I'm just going to go to a new place. But right. The Waffle House people are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, chivalry's dead. It's like, you know, if a man can't stand up for his eggs, what, you know, you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So let's pray that the Waffle House is as violent as advertised.
Does it make you think, like, what a coward you are? What a pussy. Yeah. Like, if I wouldn't even, I definitely wouldn't say anything. I might not even notice if I ordered scrambled eggs and you gave me hard boiled eggs.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is jealous that, you know, this guy is that passionate, but part of me also thinks, like, the difference between eggs over easy or over hard or scrambled versus boiled, it's the same fucking thing. You're an asshole if you complain.
Dude, I'm like in the office when they try and see, like, what they can trick. Fuck. It's Stanley into not noticing, but I think it's fucking, I can't do names today. The old guy.
Creed.
When he, like, I think it's him who bites a potato and thinks it's an apple.
Yes.
Right. Like, if I ordered steak and you brought out chicken, I just eat it. I'd probably know. I'd notice. Okay, let's not be ridiculous. I'd notice, but I wouldn't even hesitate before going in to eat it.
Right,
eat chicken. Not a big deal.
Second, am I the asshole here? Am I the asshole for not wanting my girlfriend to bleed all over our sheets again? My girlfriend gets a heavy period the first 2 to 3 days. I have nothing against periods; they're natural, and if leaks happen, they happen. However, for the last two she's had, she refuses to put on a pad at first, and when she's felt them come on both times. Both times we're in bed and trying to sleep, and she's like, oh, I think that's my period. And I say, oh, okay, well, go get a pad or check. And she's like, nah, I'm too lazy, and fell asleep. We woke up to the bloodiest mess. Second time last month, pretty much a repeat of what happened. We're cuddling. She's like, oh, there's definitely my period, but I'm too lazy. I remembered the month before and offered to get her pads and new underwear, and she's like, nah, it's fine. It wasn't fine. She bled all over me in the sheets when I got squeamish and tried to put them in the wash. Immediately, she laughed and said, it's normal. Yesterday, I put my foot down. It's near time again. I said, listen, you got to take care of this. First, she laughed and said I was being a baby, and then when I insisted, she said I was being misogynistic, being an asshole, and now she won't talk to me because apparently I'm a baby about it. I don't want to wake up in a bloody mess. Am I being unreasonable? I haven't looked at the comments. I mean, this is not an unreasonable request.
There's so much here. First of all, it just really highlights how ignorant I am to female anatomy and anatomy in general. I don't gender discriminate my ignorance. I'm ignorant to male anatomy too. But, like, you feel a period?
It just falls out.
You just, like, shit blood? Like you know it's going to come? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought it just kind of happened. I didn't know it was an accident. If fifth grade taught me anything, girls can't fucking feel it. They just fucking piss blood all over the seats. Fucking every goddamn girl in my fifth grade class didn't feel it coming.
Dude, I mean –
There were multiple fifth grade recesses that were ruined by having to walk by a puddle of blood on a seat. Okay.
Holy shit. Yo, that is done.
I think we got Steve's rep joining.
What? Okay. We'll pause. All right, a little editor's note. We started off this episode explaining, you know, giving you a look behind the curtain and talking about how the sausage was made. In the middle of John Henry ranting about girls bleeding on the benches, we had to pause for an interview. It took the wind out of our sails a little bit. So there, you might notice a little drop in energy, but we still have to answer the question. And I think unequivocally we can say this bleeding disaster of a woman is in fact an asshole, correct?
Yeah, Elise is the asshole.
The what is?
Elise is.
Elise?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's the girl who bled all over the fucking benches, Kevin.
My faith in humanity was somewhat restored. I was happy to report that all the comments were like, "You're fucking disgusting. How about you have some personal hygiene?" Because I thought in this day and age, tell me you wouldn't have been, would it have been shocking to have someone say, you know, it's natural, why don't you grow up, blah, blah, blah.
I think there's a line somewhere. I mean, this is very easily, I mean, especially the fact, like, she said she knew it was coming and she was too lazy. Like, I just started pissing and shitting in the bed. Like, all
right. Right. That's basically what the equivalent is.
And you want to be animals? Fine. Let's be fucking animals.
Right. You want to live like fucking, like we were raised by wolves? Fucking do it.
Look, I did it in college. I can do it again, no problem. So right. you want to fucking mess with this?
And that's the thing. Like, babe, you want to play this game. I promise you it's going to go worse for you than it is for me. If we let this thing go wild, you are fucked.
You're in a fucking river of shit. We might as well move to India. Because guess what? That's what this fucking bed is turning into. This bed's turning into a little dug trough. I'm going to dig a hole between the coils, hope in there, and you can bleed over in your...
Okay, all right, I'm calling it. You're the poop guy. You don't want to be the blood guy, too. We're done. She's the asshole. It's time for voicemails. Get the fuck out of here. Voicemails today are brought to you by Shady Rays. Fights is sitting outside in the sun right now. I see him squinting.
It's crazy.
Too bright.
This is the same thing I was talking about. Like, there's now people just fucking spread out in every room of my house. So I'm just sitting in the back of the yard yelling about periods. Whatever. Remove it. So who cares?
Get yourself a high quality pair of shades for far less than the expensive brands with the best warranty in the sunglasses industry. Replacements if you lose or break anything with the lifetime craftsmanship warranty. And you'll also, when you buy Shady Rays, you're donating 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order. So you're going to get some style. You're going to get some craftsmanship. You're going to get some philanthropy. You're going to feel good about yourself. You're not going to be squinting. You're going to feel like it's the summer. You know me. I only wear sunglasses during the warm weather months. It's time for me to stock up on a few pairs. These are just $48. So these idiots will go spend $300, $400. You're going to sit on them. You're going to lose them in the ocean, whatever it is. Why don't you grab yourself, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 pairs of Shady Rays, all different colors, all different designs. Load up for the summer. Feed half of America right now. Get yourself some high-quality shades. And if there are any problems at all, there's free returns and exchanges. Best part, listen to this fucking deal, John Henry. If you go to ShadyRays.com and you use the promo code KFC and you buy 2 pairs or more, how much do you think the discount percentage is, John?
25.
50%. Double it. Buy 2, get 2 free, or buy 1. I don't know. It's 50% off if you buy 2 pairs or more when you go to ShadyRays.com and use the promo code KFC. Go check it out right now and keep those eyes safe. Voicemails. What do we got, Nikki?
You can see fights. So good. I need you to lay down the rules of quarantine and throwing out thirst traps. What are the rules? Are there rules? Can you be texting guys that you haven't spoken to in 2 years. I don't know, fucking stir the pot. I need some ground rules here. I need some help.
I think we are into lawless territory here.
I think it's always lawless. I think just like we said, we talked about it very last episode, where it's like things said versus text, not real. Like I'm fucking, if you expect me to do anything I say in a text message, and I don't care if it's anything from moving a couch to fucking throwing you around the bedroom, I'm not going to do it. I don't have the ability to do it. It's like, it's just not going to happen. Sure. I'll get that. I'll do that. I'd love to do that. Can't wait to do that. That would be my honor. My pleasure. Fuck off.
Never gonna happen. But hey, if it helps you,
verbal confirmation is a thing. If we didn't get verbal confirmation, fuck a text message, bro.
I mean, if it helps though, right? You got to speak your truth. You want to fire off some pics. You want to talk a little.
Oh no, I'm saying is you can do it. She was asking. Yeah, you can go back like 2 years. You can go back forever. Who gives a shit?
I think everybody just needs to understand. You just can't have any expectations right now. Nothing. Nothing is real. You know what I love? You know what I love right now? Armando Galarraga trying to get the fucking perfect game overturned. Like, if you've got any Festivus, like, airing of grievances, fucking throw it out there. Because there's never been a better time in history where people might go, you know what? Like, yeah, Pete Rose, wasn't that fucking big of a deal? Let him in. Steroids? Who cares? Like, this is the time to just throw it out there because all of a sudden people don't give a fuck about what they used to give a fuck about.
That's true. That's true. There's only one thing to care about right now, and it's that. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, text fucking everybody. Text. There's a mass text. Fucking sex your fucking dad, lady. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. The world is ending. Who gives a shit? Fucking sex.
Wait for the fucking meteor to hit, and let's wipe this shit out. I guess I didn't know this.
Can you? By the way, I go by those rules all the time. It's not just quarantine rules for me. Yeah. It's just if I didn't talk to you, I didn't say it to your face.
Doesn't count. It's not happening.
No deal. Deal or no deal? No deal.
Yo, can you confirm or deny this for me? Because I never know whether Dave's reliable or not. Dave on the rundown said that California said we're not opening until we have a cure.
I think there was a breaking 911 Twitter. I never saw that from an official Twitter. That breaking 911 account?
Yeah. It's
like I don't know. They kind of throw shit out there sometimes. It might be true. It might not be. I saw 3 months or something like that. I saw they were like canceled summer.
Basically. Yeah. That's what I saw. And then we had ourselves a good old-fashioned Clay Travis rundown today. It was the cure is worse than the disease. Just open it up and let people die. I sat there in silence for like 13 straight minutes. I was like, what? I'm not fucking – I don't know what was going on there. That was wild. But Dave is all on board. I think Dave would murder Fauci with his bare hands if he saw him right now. I don't know how it's going to wrap up in the next 20 minutes. It's 3:40 as we record this. Today is Dave's single worst day. And if it goes wrong, he said he might lose a million just today.
That's like,
dude, you just don't know what you're doing. Fucking stop.
Yeah, like I have no pity for him on that. Like you're just doing something you don't know how to do. So of course you're losing money.
100%. Get the fuck out.
Again, don't get me wrong. It's good for business and all that stuff, but I don't know. Yeah, you're losing money doing something you don't know how to do. I could have guessed that.
Right. Next voicemail.
What's up, KSC and Vice? I got Am I the Asshole for you? So the other day I come home from work and I walk in the kitchen and it just reeks of fish. Not a great smell to be walking home to after a long day of work. So I immediately go upstairs and I confront my girlfriend and I say, hey, what's going on? Why does the house smell like fish? You know, why didn't you at least open a window, try to get the air out, maybe spray some Febreze or something? And she completely flips it on me saying that I'm an asshole because I can't even say hello after a long day and that I should be as much of an adult to at least figure out that the smell is coming from the trash can because she had fish for lunch and she threw some of it in the trash and then to take out the trash myself. So this turned into a conversation about me being lazy and not being able to take out the trash. So am I the asshole for being upset for coming home to a house reeking of fish, or is she the asshole for not realizing that that would not be pleasant? All right.
I just cannot believe that humans agree to relationships when I hear this kind of shit.
I thought that was going somewhere completely different, by the way.
Yeah, I had some thoughts as well.
I thought she was gonna be like, "What are you talking about?" I haven't cooked any fish, and then you're gonna find out that she had like HPV or something.
Yeah, I thought that was gonna make a bad turn. It's just that she ate fish. It smells a little fishy. I think you're both the asshole for making this into anything at all. What are we doing? You're wasting your fucking lives. You two should absolutely break up. If you have fights like this, you should not be in a relationship.
What is the kitchen? Oh my God, this is disgusting. The kitchen smells like what you cooked.
Right. And yes, is it annoying that as soon as someone comes home, they start to berate you? Yeah, sure. That sucks too. What are we, why are you even together? And I know I'm the last person who should be talking, but I've seen the goddamn light. It's insane. What are you? Just don't do it. Both of you should just break up and never talk to each other again. Hello. Hello, happiness. Who fucking cares?
Why are you taking a trash out? Well, I just came home. Why does it smell like fish? Well, I just cooked. Cooks. End of argument.
Done. Move on. Nobody cares. Let's do our last voicemail today is brought to you by Roman. Breaking news. Men do have skin. They do have faces. And they are ugly. Also breaking news, Roman has prescription strength skincare that will help you be less ugly. I don't know if that's something you'd be interested in. Me, myself, I don't like having an ugly face. I also have nobody but myself to blame because I don't ever like to try to make my face look pretty. So if you give me some skincare, you tell me a doctor prescribed it, you tell me it's better than just some shit you can pick up at the pharmacy on the fucking aisle, and you tell me that there's proven like FDA science behind it and that I'm going to look good, well, sign me the fuck up. I've got the dad bags under my eyes. I'm Irish. I drank a lot. I mean, yeah, I'm a disaster. So if a doctor can fix this, he can fix anybody. Right now, you can call up or hop on the computer and get a free online consultation from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours, and they will send you a custom skincare treatment with free two-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor if you need to make a change or you have any questions. There's no long-term commitments. You can cancel anytime you want, and all that you're going to do is get a prettier face. So
you'd be a buffoon not to.
Go to GetRoman.com/barstool offer. That's GetRoman, GetRoman.com/barstool offer for a free online visit and start your new skincare today. Eligibility requirements and additional terms apply. Nick, hit us.
Hey, guys, what's up? I just watched the video that Fight posted for Mother's Day about skipping school repeatedly and his mom just not giving a fuck. So, I mean, shout out Mama Feidelberg. But it got me thinking about the time I got caught skipping school and then my punishment for not showing up to school was that I got suspended for 3 days. So, in essence, they punished me for not showing up somewhere by making me not show up somewhere. And I was wondering what the dumbest fucking punishment you ever got as like a middle or high school or any point in your childhood was. See ya.
That's why in school suspension was the truth. Did you guys have that?
We had it in middle school. I never got it, but it was definitely a thing.
Because, yeah, I mean, oh no, don't fucking make me stay home and watch Price is Right. You really showed me. But you sit alone in a room.
But also, like, they do show you. I feel like that's kind of a common thing where people, like, bring that up. Like, oh, I suspended, made me stay in school. Like, well, like, when you were skipping school, your parents didn't know.
Yeah, and now your parents know. And to act like you had to be a real fucking renegade to be like, I don't give a fuck that I got suspended from school. That's usually a bad thing. But the sentiment behind the idea of, like, you don't get to come to school anymore because you weren't coming to school doesn't really make any fucking sense.
I think the punishment was more just telling your parents and then your parents, like, depending on how what age you were, like, your parents to set up like a babysitter or something. Like, you're right. A senior in high school, no. But when you're the younger years, I skipped middle school, more in middle school than in high school. And I never got caught. But had I gotten caught, that would have been a problem for me.
Yeah, I feel like my mom was a G. I remember my mom always saying, like, don't worry about your teacher, worry about me. Like, if, you know, if you get good grades and your teacher doesn't like you, I don't fucking care. If, you know, if I think you did a good job and did what you need to do, don't worry about them. So I was like, listen, I don't got to answer to you, bitch. I got to answer to my mom. So you do whatever you want. My mom's cool with me. We're good. I don't know if I ever really was – I didn't get suspended. There was one time in elementary school that a kid accused me of bullying. That was a fucking farce. That was a hoax. I don't think I ever really got in much trouble.
I almost got suspended. I guess this wasn't a punishment. This was to avoid punishment in middle school when I pantsed the kid. And it was during gym class. And he fucking – I don't know if I caught boxers or if he wasn't wearing boxers, but fucking old Dickie came out. And like
– You're a sex offender.
You know, my teacher straight up like accused – like he was like, dude, like I think I'd report you for this. And – You're gonna that's sexual assault. Like, you're in serious trouble. We're in like sixth grade. I was like, what, dude?
He's like, yeah. If that happened today, I guarantee you could seriously face that.
Well, luckily for me, he made me shoot free throws, and if I hit 6 out of 10, I didn't get in trouble.
Yes, I love that. I fucking love it. And you hit it? Did you hit 6?
Yeah, I forget how many I hit. I forget what the amount I had to hit was, and how many I did hit.
Yeah,
but I was safe. It was like, while I was shooting, the kid was just sitting Indian style in the corner, like fucking. He wasn't like chirping me or anything. Like it wasn't like a fucking college basketball game, but he was like watching me. Dude, I don't know if he wanted me to hit him or if he didn't, because he was my friend.
Right,
it was like a buddy. It wasn't some random kid I was bullying. But I don't know how he wanted it to go, because he wasn't allowed to fucking scream at me. I rose clutch to the moment and didn't end up on a sex offenders list.
Have you done one thing I learned on this?
No. We talked about this somewhere recently.
Oh my
God. I was like, write that down. Let's do one thing I learned on that.
Yes. That is fucking unbelievable. That's a pilot episode of a TV show right there. That might be one of my favorite Feidelberg stories, period.
I thought I told it on here. If you didn't know about it, where would I have talked about it?
I mean, I definitely have a vision of you talking about pantsing somebody with their dick out. But I don't think I knew that you could get off the hook by shooting free throws. And I definitely didn't know that he was sitting on this fucking baseline watching you. I mean, that is a pressure-packed situation with your sexual assault victim watching you shoot hoops.
I could take you – not right now, but it's not far from my house. I could take you right to the court.
You got to go shoot one thing I learned on location. Holy shit. That is fucking unreal. All right, it's time for our interviews. We got a couple more monsters. We'll start off with Jimmy O. Yang, one of the funniest dudes on the planet. He's got his own comedy special out, Good Deal. He's got a part in Space Force, which comes out at the end of the month. He is riding the hot hand. We talk about him being a professional ping pong player at the age of 6. We talk about him in a rap group called the Yellow Panthers, which might be the like the last time in history that you could have got away with light racism like that. Very good interview with Jimmy. It's brought to you by Simply Safe. Right now, there's no more important feeling than being safe at home. You got to make sure you and your loved ones are safe in your house for as long as we're under quarantine. You got to make sure with all this uncertainty that you can rest easy at night. And that's what Simply Safe does. They've got full comprehension protection for your home. There's no technician or salesperson that needs to come and disrupt you. You don't have to pay any outrageous monthly fees. You don't have to sign a 2-year contract. You just order it online. You set it up yourself in under an hour, and your home is protected 24/7 with emergency dispatch for break-ins, for fire, for any other disruptions, any other unsafe things. They got you covered. It's all for 50 cents per day, which is basically free if you ask me. Simply Safe is one of the best overall home securities, as rated by the U.S. News, World, and Report. And right now, when you go to simplysafe.com/KFC radio, you can get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. That's 2 months of Simply Safe for free when you go to simplysafe.com/KFC radio. From Simply Safe and all of us here at KFC Radio, we're wishing you safety and good health. Let's talk to Jimmy.
Oh, what's up, guys?
Jimmy, what's up, bud?
How are you?
This motherfucker.
We're here.
We're in here. What's up, Jimmy O. Yang?
Sorry for being late, bros. I'm good. No complaints. Kind of chilling in my crib.
Dude, that's some nice art you got behind you. Is that special art?
That's on purpose.
You know, that is from the set of Silicon Valley. That is
no shit.
That's awesome.
You saw in the Hacker House, it's actually like this like carpeted art that one of our set designers made, Jordan Paul.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's unbelievable.
You guys all kind of got to grab whatever you wanted? Like, you like could take one thing?
Yeah, they asked like what we wanted, and I really wanted this thing. But they were like, no, that one you got to buy. We can't just give that to you. But I was able to strike a decent deal with Jordan, so that was nice.
I think you're doing all right. I think you can manage, right?
I can manage one piece of art in my house. Yeah.
You could argue you got that in a good deal.
Hey, nice. Professional
set right there.
That's pro. That was a pro
good
move.
Deal. It's the new special out on Amazon Prime right now. It sounds like you are kind of the most stereotypical Asian guy ever, but only you want to be able to make those jokes. Am I right?
No, I mean, my stories are told from a very first person point of view. I think that's the only way I know how to do stand up and tell my stories, because I never want to generalize. But yet my life does fit some of the stereotypes, but yet some of them, I turn them on its head, you know, like we don't all have small dicks, as you saw on the special. For the audience listening that hasn't seen the special, I might or might not have pulled my dick out in the special. But no, I didn't do that. Anyways, but yeah, I just talk from a very first person point of view, and some things are true, some things are not. And then, you know, everything in the special is true. I'm talking about the stereotypes. Some are true, some are not. And it just, that's the only way I know how to share a story and humanize these stereotypes instead of, you know, generalizing.
The competitive ping pong is the one.
That really one.
That's for you real. Realize,
like, how legit? Like, take me through the ping pong career. When did it start? And when did you realize that it probably wasn't going to be for you?
I started playing ping pong how kids here would have started, like Pop Warner football, like pretty young, right? I would guess maybe like around first grade, 6 years old, you know, start playing ping pong.
Are you out of the ordinary in school, or is it like everyone's trying out for the ping pong squad?
I think for some reason, my parents took it very seriously. Like, we'd go to practice and they would take me to training camp. Maybe the coach or whatever saw like a colonel, like be like, oh, this guy could be something. Whereas other kids might have taken classes or played on the weekend, but wasn't taking it as seriously. So we took it very seriously.
On like a mini table?
You know what's funny? The first time I ever got on TV was when Butterfly, the table tennis company, the ping pong company, were trying out these adjustable height tables. And I was one of the kids getting interviewed because I was such a tiny little, like, cute little kid. And that was my first TV experience, this news interview. But yeah, I have like really cute videos because I was really small, even for my age, of like me being like chin high with the table and like just killing it on these like strokes.
You look good. If you were doing training camps in the special, you kind of make it seem like, I think you were saying when your dad gave you advice, like, you're too slow, you're going to stink.
Yeah, yeah.
You were actually really good.
I was good. I was competing at a tournament level. But for some reason, I have like really good form. I look good playing it, but I just wasn't a winner. You know, like how we've been watching like The Last Dance. Like, Jordan is just like the ultimate winner. You know, yep. I was more like Scott Burrell. You know, I got in the league, but like, just I didn't have the winner mentality. So I would always end up like fourth or fifth in the tournament. But yeah, I was, I had a little moment of fame when I got on TV, did a couple of like interviews as a kid. Not for my skills, I don't think. I was decent, but I was just kind of like a cute little kid.
If you pick up the paddles now, are you like ultra competitive about it?
No.
Okay. Well, we just opened up a like a game room in our office back before this quarantine. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of office rivalries brewing, and there are people who take that shit very seriously. And I would imagine someone who was in a tournament level as a 6 year old, you get the juices flowing again, and it comes out.
The thing is, it's a lose-lose situation for me. If I win, okay, the Asian kid's supposed to win, right? He was a pro. Right. If I lose, then they're like, oh my God, he's nothing. He's a fraud, you know?
And also, if you win, like, you have to try, it's like, oh, like, Jimmy's kind of an asshole about this. Right. It's better to just not.
And I haven't, you got to understand, my body has changed since I was 6 years old, and I haven't tried in a long time. And ping pong is so precise. It's all about practice. So I think I can still look really good. I can still look like a professional ping pong player if I were to shoot a movie about ping pong. You know, like I can slice like a spin, throw the ball super high on the serve or whatever. But the ball landing on the other side of the table in the right place, I just don't think I have enough practice for that.
So you'd be like one of the guys in the Miracle movie when they had like actual hockey players play, and like they weren't very good hockey players. You could tell, like, anyone who's a little older, like, you could tell they had it at some point, but it's kind of, you don't really have it anymore. That's the fucking sweet spot of life, though. If you can just like, if you look like at one point you had it, Because then you can tell all the war stories and shit. Like, oh, yeah, back in Hong Kong, I was a fucking menace out there.
I could really make up the craziest shit. Like, I met the president of Hong Kong because of play, which is not even a thing. But I feel like when it comes to ping pong, I'm like an N1 basketball player, like hot sauce or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, they look incredible with the crossovers and, like, the dunks. But, like, why aren't they in the NBA? Like, what's wrong with their game?
They can't shoot a jumper. So you are the equivalent of not having a jumper in ping pong. But at the same time, when hot sauce is doing his thing, people
I look good. So, yeah.
You know, that's nothing to turn your nose up at, man. How about the rest of the special? What was it like? I'm always interested when people have like a very firmly established acting career and then are continuing to do stand-up, and which you feel like you're more of at this moment.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard because the special just came out. I feel like the juices are flowing again. I'm getting new ideas. Obviously, I can't go out to try material, but at the same time, I'm also writing. I'm also, you know, acting and all that, and preparing for certain things. So it's just great to be in a position to do kind of whatever I want at this point, and hopefully they keep letting me do that. I was talking to my manager and he was like, well, what do you think about your second special? Are you going to do one? Do you have a timeline? I was like, I don't have a timeline. I really don't want to put a timeline on this, but let's just say I'm not done yet. You know,
right.
I still feel like I got shit to talk about. And I started as a stand-up. So I think that's always my first love. That's always something I was good at. That's the thing that got me an agent. That's the thing that got me to acting auditions and stuff. So I think it will... not just be unwise, but I think be unfulfilling if I completely stop doing stand-up. And I did that for a few seasons in Silicon Valley, like season 4 or 5 towards the end of Silicon Valley, or 3 or 4 around there. When I was like starting to make some money, I was like, oh, I don't have to eat ramen. I don't have to be on the road doing shitty bars anymore. Yeah. You know, I was like, fine, I'm going to take my foot off the gas. Let's just enjoy this shit. But then there's something unfulfilling. And it's only when I started preparing for this special when I had to go on tour again. It was exhausting. I was shooting Space Force Monday through Thursday, and then I'll go on the road like Friday through Saturday. It was exhausting, but I was like, oh, this is good. This feels good. This is what I know I'm good at.
You are like Michael Jordan. It was like when Jordan was playing, he was doing Space Jam and playing pickup. It's like you're, you know, maybe not with ping pong, but with acting, you're like MJ.
Oh, that's very nice of you. I think it's you can make a lot more money being the Michael Jordan of acting than be the Michael Jordan of ping pong.
you said like obviously you started stand up. But I was reading an interview with you. I think it was NPR. I forget. But you had an awesome line where you're like, Googling local open mics is the last thing you Google before you Google how to kill yourself.
Absolutely. Yes. I think people don't understand how shitty and sad stand-up is. You know, a lot of people want to do it, but they bust out. But to immerse yourself in that lifestyle, which is the only way to get good, to perform 7 days a week or whatever, right? You have to be so desperate that you have no other social life, or you know, there's something off. That's why you dive.
Oh, you guys are all sick in the fucking head to do that multiple times a night, 7 days a week, suck at it for years, for decades. Yeah. You're sick in the head.
Because for some reason, that's still better than an alternative. Yeah. Every comic I've talked to that started comedy.
You sound like a cutter right now, where it's like, at least I feel something. Everyone's doing me on stage every night and they hate me, but I feel alive.
Being ridiculed and embarrassed by the empty audience, I feel alive.
You said you weren't good for like the first year or two. Like
nobody was, I think. Well, right?
No, obviously. Yeah. But what was your worst experience with it? Like, did you have some where you're just like,
you know what?
One night when you almost quit stand up and decided to go the kill yourself route?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. It's funny you asked that. I actually wrote about this little story in my book. This is about 2 years in. I was finishing my last year of college in San Diego, you know. And San Diego have a lot of different pockets, a lot of military pockets, Latino communities, and there's also super racist people. So, like,
oh,
I was performing.
In America?
No. I was performing in a Imperial Beach, which is a beach town, but it's like super, super like just like racist or backwards in a way. And it was this bar show. And I remember people telling me about this bar show. It's like, yo, it's hot there. Joe, this other comic, Joe, performed there last week and they just screamed out the N-word at him on stage. And I mean, this dude wasn't even black. Like he was just a dude. Like he was just a white dude, you know? And we're like, what the fuck, you know? And I remember going there. It was just everybody was eating shit that night. It was such a tough crowd. People were drunk. They're heckling. They're yelling out shit, just chugging Bud Lights. Nobody wanted to listen to these dumb like stand-ups on stage. So I told the DJ, which is just a drunk man with an iPod, I was like, hey, play this song when I get on stage, okay? And then I got on stage and it came on. Everybody was kung fu fighting. And then everybody started cheering and laughing and shit. And I was like, all right, cut that music, you racist motherfuckers. So I kind of used that against them and it kind of worked. But before that moment or even during that moment, it was the scariest thing, because if that didn't work, I could have just gotten like really fucked up, like physically in that place.
You don't have to Google how to kill yourself. They do it for you.
Yeah. How to perform in front of racist people.
I mean, come quite a long way from that to Space Force. The cast is, it's comical. It's like an all-star who's who lineup. Could not be better timing for everyone stuck at home looking for something to watch. A lot of stars on that show. What are you expecting when that drops?
Oh, I mean, I've seen it already. It's dropping May 29th. The only thing I wish is it will come out earlier. Just so people can watch it now. But it was incredible, because I think the first day on set, I was pretty damn nervous. It was a scene with me, Steve Carell, and John Malkovich, and I was like, holy shit, what's going on? But you know what? They're all of them are the nicest, most professional, best people. Yeah. And then when I watched the episodes come together, I just became a fan. I was just watching it as a fan, because I'm only in so many scenes, and then the other scenes about the big picture and the music and everything. It's just, I would say the humor is like, of course, created by Greg Daniels and Steve. So it's like office level humor, and it's a workplace comedy, but the stakes are super high because it's this military branch, and the visuals and the music are shot like an incredible $100 million movie. So
when this show was conceived, mm-hmm. had the Space Force been created yet, or did this show just like briefly reach the future?
I want to think that's more of a question for Greg and Steve, but I think it was Trump jokingly saying boots on the moon and I'm going to create a Space Force. That's the initial kernel of an idea for the show. Okay. And then when we're finally shooting the show after it was developed last year, there was already some Space Force chatter. Like it was a real Space Force already created, but they haven't gotten their first recruits. It's not operational yet. So the show is actually ahead of the real Space Force. But then when we hear about the news after we finish shooting the show, like in the beginning of the year, where Space Force we're having like debuting like the new uniforms and stuff, we're like, oh, we like did that in the show already. You know? Yeah. So we were kind of ahead of it.
It's very like Veep, when Veep was like ahead of its time, and art imitating life imitating art. So mm-hmm.
we were speaking of the cast of Space Force. Your pops is in it. Your pops is a main character in Good Deal, and now yes. he's in this too. How did that happen?
I think I had jokingly mentioned to John Malkovich and Ben Schwartz that my dad is also an actor, because I talk about in my special, my dad started acting after I did, because he was like, oh, it's so easy, you can do it, I can probably do it. And I was like, fine, you know, go. I'll sign you up with an agent somewhere, and then you go eat shit at some auditions, and then you see how hard my life is, right? But then the plan completely backfired, because he was actually pretty fucking good, and there's only like three old Asian men, you know, in Hollywood, like at all. So there's not a lot of picking. So there's this one episode, I think we need a couple older Chinese characters that can also maybe speak Mandarin, or like, you know, it's from China, something like that. And Greg was like, we always, you know, you have to hire the same guys or whatever. And I didn't want to speak up first. I don't want to just volunteer my dad, you know? And then I think John was the one after the table read that went up to Greg and be like, hey, have you thought about Jimmy's dad? So then later on, I cut together an acting reel of all the commercials and little stuff that my dad did, you know, like Patriots Day, he played my dad, and sent it to Greg. And I was like, Greg, you know, just give the old man a chance. Maybe he'll come in, let him audition. But I think they must have saw something in him. They're like, ah, he got the job. That's it. He's great. He's perfect. And man, he came in and killed it, man. He came in and really killed it. Yeah. I don't want to give too much.
That must be a pretty unique experience. You never worked with your dad before that, right? That must be
interesting. In Patriots Day, he played my dad, but it was a very brief scene. But this was, I mean, I don't want to give too much of the scene away, but let's just say we're all working together, right? Malkovich and Steve and everyone. And I warned them. I was like, Steve, John, I'm sorry, my dad's coming in. He's going to ask for selfies, okay? Because that's he doesn't care how much he's getting paid. He just wants a selfie. That's the main thing he wants. And then John was like, oh, no. Don't worry about that. We're going to ask him for a selfie. So he became like the Space Force mascot for that episode. And everybody just loved, because, you know, you shoot long days and stuff, and then somebody's dad comes on and actually acts. That's a great story, and people loved it.
I mean,
so that was a really fun day.
Story I've heard throughout all of quarantine, man. That's the bright spot in this whole shit show, man. That's great stuff.
Yeah, it's going.
Speaking of quarantine, you said in the special, you say that he calls you every 3 hours, I believe it was. Are you still talking that much? Dude, it's so hard to talk in quarantine when people are like, what's up? Like,
right, because you don't have an excuse anymore to not talk to anyone.
Right.
But you also don't have anything to talk about once you get going. You're like, I don't know, man. I just watched TV again today.
That's so true. Yeah. So we have this WeChat family group chat. So WeChat is what like Chinese people use. It's like WhatsApp, WeChat, whatever. And they just leave, instead of calling me now, both my parents, they just leave like long-winded, like minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, like voice memos, you know?
Oh my God.
And those are so hard to listen. Because I'm listening to radio, I can read a text or like whatever, watching TV. But then your entire focus has to stop and listen to that. And sometimes I listen to like every other one to see if I can get away with it, you know? And then I just text back something super simple. It's like, oh, that's amazing. You know, those noodles look great. But, you know, sometimes he catches me later on. He was like, did you read that article I sent you? I was like, no. He's like, see, you got to read the shit that your dad sends you. What if I'm dead one day and I never send you shit? I'm like, it's not that serious.
I still have a newspaper on my bed from like my first night in quarantine of an article my dad gave me to read. And it hasn't even fallen off my bed yet. It's still just sitting on the corner of my bed. Just been sleeping with it next to me. It's been 2 months now. I'll get to it eventually, but.
Yeah, and he sends me Mandarin, like Chinese articles. I haven't read Chinese since I was 13. Like I can't read that shit. Yeah, you know?
I'm a fucking Hollywood superstar, dude. I don't do this shit anymore. Right, man? Yeah. Frank.
Yeah. Send it to my assistant.
Oh. Yo, by the way, before we let you go, we got to talk about the Yellow Panthers.
The Yellow Panthers is for real, dude. That's a real band. That's a real, you know. Here, can I play you guys a Yellow Panther song?
Yes. Yeah. Fucking yes, Jimmy. We're here all day, bro. We have nothing to do. I'll stay as long as you want.
So
Yellow Panthers is you. A black guy and like a mixed guy and a
rapper. My buddy Julian who's black, and then my buddy Yuji who is half black and half Japanese. So as I said in my stand-up, one and a half Asian guys, one and a half black guys, and this was a hip-hop group we had in high school. I made the beats and rapped and everything, and it was called the Yellow Panthers. Sure, that's not very PC these days.
I was gonna say that's not a name that flies today, but
you know, in hindsight, we're kids. You know,
are these songs like out there, or is this just like on your computer?
It's on my computer. I actually thought about making this song like the outro credit song for my special, but I don't know.
Throw them up on Spotify.
Yeah, true. Maybe I should, huh? I never thought about that. I don't know how the music industry works for young people these days.
Jimmy's just gonna email Spotify like, here are my songs, put them up.
You gotta get on TikTok.
I'm going to send him a snail mail with like a one of those mini discs. Okay, here's the song. Let me see if I play it, see if you guys can hear it. This song is Yellow Panthers, Good Day in the West Coast. It was made in about 2004 or 5, I believe. Let's see.
Oh.
Dude, can you guys not hear that?
Oh.
Maybe you take the headphones out.
I did. I unplugged the headphones, so you guys on the regular.
Oh man, I would love to hear this.
Maybe I can send it to you guys.
I was gonna say, if you want to send it and we put the episode out, if you want to put it on social media or something like that, I think people would fucking love to hear this.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. I'll send it to you guys. So just email my publicist. She has it in the email.
All right, we'll do that. All right, dude. Well, really appreciate the time. The special is hilarious. Space Force is going to be unbelievable. Happy to see you doing well. Stay safe. All right, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, dude. I don't know what Jimmy is thinking, but I just got the email right now as we speak. I have the Yellow Panthers track.
Oh, you got to drop it in there.
We're going to put it in. It's a world premiere. The Yellow Panthers, Jimmy O Yang making the beat.
Do we have permission to put it in here?
I'm going to read this out loud. I said, Jimmy, you want to send over that Yellow Panthers song? With your permission, we'd love to put it out there along with the podcast tomorrow, question mark. He said, here you go, brother. That's consent, right?
I as far as I understand it, yeah.
And I mean, I just, you know, I'm going to check one more time because I'm going to feel bad. Like, Jimmy, I think you should put this on like a Spotify channel or a YouTube page or something.
At the very least, but we can put in a snippet here. We can put in, we can drop in a little something. Maybe let's just drop in a little something no matter what, because we don't want to put 4 minutes of a song here.
Right. We'll give you a little taste, and I'm going to make sure with Jimmy, we'll either put it on his platforms or ours. But I think the Jimmy O Yang Yellow Panthers rap song is one of the best things we've ever uncovered here on this podcast.
Woke up in the AM to the radio, stereo bumping to my favorite show. The Prince called me up, said for show, for show. Cruise by the studio to lace our flow. Doc said for show, what's with the hoes? I said it's all to the good, we got plenty of those. But before we flow, we gotta cop some mind enhancements, so we can conjure up some musical enchantments. So we got some 40s from the corner store, smoke a little dub sack, but we fiend for more. Feel real chill, music flow for real. Smoking by the pound, never got enough to deal. We making remedies with beats like Warren G. Hypnotic and Hennessy, got me feeling heavenly. West Coast smoke and roll to the basketball court. A little short but on point on a shooting spree.
Hey, pass the ball, pass the ball. Oh,
down the lane.
Hey, I got this, man, I got this.
Here we go. There we go. 20. Yeah, that's two.
Yeah, what's up?
Game point, bro.
Yellow Panthers blowing up from the 310. Everywhere we go, we see groupie hoes. We ball, we flow, and we smoke some dro. Ain't nothing but a good day in the West Coast.
Nothing but a good day on the West Coast.
Ain't nothing but a good day on the West Coast.
Ain't nothing but a good day on the West Coast.
Catch us on the
Unbelievable job by Jimmy. Not the best job by his people to just like not do anything with this music. But okay, whatever. Let's get into our final interview. It's Snooki and her boy Joey with one of the most ridiculous stories ever on KFC Radio. We'll see you guys next week after that. All right, let's just dive right into it. We were just talking before you jumped in, Joey. We got Snooki and Joey here. Snooki, you like the cold? You like snow and all that shit?
I do. I love snow. I love the cold. I just hate sweating, I think. But also I love snow because then it reminds me of Christmas and it's family time and presents. So I just like the whole vibe of winter.
But just like from the Jersey Shore vibe of like you want to be tan and you're on the beach and you're in your bikini drinking at the bar. That's like the opposite of being like you're over it.
I know a lot of people don't know the true me, and that's just like my job me. But my true me is pale in the snow drinking hot cocoa.
Wow. I drink hot cocoa.
I love hot cocoa.
And wine.
Well, yeah, that too. But I love hot cocoa in the winter.
What about you, Joey? You have
I hate sweating too, but I don't want to be winter all the time. I like to have the fall where – and I'm fat, so I run hot anyway. So it's always 75 and sunny for me even in the winter. So
you're not fat, Joey.
Oh, thanks, girl.
You're a big guy, but you're not fat.
Thank you. Well, no, I don't like being hot either. So I like to keep my room so I can like keep perishables.
Yeah, you're like me. You love being cold.
Yeah, I like being cold.
Yeah.
And so what you guys like, have you been surviving this quarantine separate from each other? Have you guys seen each other much?
No, not at all.
Wow.
I miss Joey. I definitely miss him, but we still have our podcast together, so we moved to Fridays now because we wanted it to be classy and say TJI Friday. That's why we're drunk. So we moved to Fridays, so we still get to talk to each other and we still text each other, but we haven't seen each other, so it definitely sucks.
Yeah. Have you guys seen each other?
No. I mean, we see each other like every damn day on this thing here, but no. I mean, last time I saw John was, you know, the last day of work. He went up to closer to Boston, and I'm back home in my apartment. That's it. He was having trouble with the connection. He'll hop back in. But were you guys, My hair is getting crazy. It's getting long.
You had a corona scare.
What's that?
You had a corona scare.
Yes, I did. And I I went and I got the antibody test too, just to see if maybe I picked it up at all. I'm all clear on that. So no corona here. I could
when you were coughing up a lung?
Oh, it was I had every symptom there was. And I guess I just
that's
had
crazy.
Yeah. That was nuts. Were you guys at all like did you guys need a break? Were you guys ever like around each other too much and you're happy to separate, or were you just like sad to be separated?
Not too much. We're not always with each other, but like when we do, we always have fun. So it's like we're not up each other's ass 24/7. But like every week we could see each other.
I bet you would like that if you were up each other's ass 24/7, huh, Joey?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So we just recently started ass stuff.
Yeah. I had a whoops-a-daisy by myself in quarantine.
I mean, you might as well tell them the story because you already said it on our podcast, so it's not right. Secret.
I haven't had butt sex since, like, into it.
Brace yourself.
I know. I haven't had it sucking in my ass for, like, probably 10, 15 years.
What?
Maybe.
You haven't had to what?
I haven't gotten fucked in the ass.
I think it's something in my ass. I was like, I don't know how that works.
I'm more of a blouse because, like, you know, there's tops and bottoms. I'm like a top, but I'm really feminine, so I'm like a blouse.
Well,
so
I was surprised. I would have guessed that. Well, no, I don't know, because you're a big guy, so I can understand you being a top, but also, like you said, you're feminine, and I could see you being a bottom. So,
right.
I guess it cuts both ways, but so yeah, you have not been fucked in the ass for 15 years, and then you had a whoops-a-daisy.
Yeah, I had a whoops-a-daisy. So you know, we're all watching more porn these days, and then Pornhub gave away those free premium memberships. So I was like, you know, going online, looking at all different videos, and I started seeing like all these guys getting fucked in the ass. I said that must feel good. So I did what any girl would do in a quarantine. I reached under my bed and grabbed my dildo. I sucked up to the wall, looped up, and then I like started like getting. Once I got it in there, I was like getting a little rhythm going. I go, okay, here we go. It's like riding a bike, getting your sea legs back, girl. So I finally I was like, okay, let's take this to the bedroom. Okay, so once I got a little more comfortable, I lit a scented candle, put on some socks, and I went and sat down on the bed. But I didn't want it to come out, so I like sat on it like that, and then I like finished what I was doing. And I wasn't prepared or anything. Like, normally, when you bottom, you have to like prepare yourself. Insertion and like you know get all ready down there. I didn't even think of it because I was by myself and it was for the moment. It was like, you know, I just met the guy and I just went home with him. I'm doing it and then I finally finished. And like, you know, like when I don't know if you can't relate to this, but girls can, like after you finish, you want like nothing to do with the dick anymore. It's kind of like when you finally come and like you're watching the porn, you're watching, and you're like, what I'm disgusting. What the fuck? And you're like,
yeah, I hate myself.
Yeah, what the fuck was I thinking? So the same idea. I was like, get this thing out of me. Oh my god, there's a dick in me. I was disgusted. I ripped it out, and when I did, the fucking floodgates opened, and hot shit poured out all over. And I had some other sheets. It was like a crime scene in there.
He's disgusting.
It poured out like fucking lava everywhere. I tried to run through it. I poured my whole living room of shit.
He was wobbling to his bathroom with his dick still in his ass, and he was like, "Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!" And there's poop flying everywhere.
I have so much here, but for starters, you start with sticking it to the wall. I thought that was like just something that happened in porn.
No, otherwise I can't reach back very far. So if you stick it to the wall, you're able to hold your cheeks open like this and just back. And you have more control over it. If you just sit down on it, your asshole right open.
Joey, you're like a sexual astronaut. I'm just picturing like fucking remember in like Apollo 13 when it's like or whatever movie it is and they're just trying to fucking sync up the thing. Joey just reversing like an 18 wheeler at a rest stop, just fucking back.
I got it in there, but it was
gross.
I had to like get my whole bed and like call services to come and clean up. But
yo, you're a real man. I respect the fuck out of you, like cleaning that up and like calling someone because I just burned that house down. I'd be,
I'm actually yeah, but now I learned my lesson. If I ever have to do it again, I have a full shower tap that I bought from Amazon. So I'll just do myself ahead of time.
Like, yeah, and you need a douche.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of the problem for that seems like a pain in the ass, no pun intended, for gay guys. Yeah. Like, you know, like you said, if you just meet someone at the bar, it's not just like, all right, let's fucking do this. It's like, well, I don't know. I had a
call earlier. So
yeah, right. It's like you gotta plan everything. Shit, man. That is wildly disgusting, Joey.
Yeah. So that's how his quarantine's going.
Imagine.
Is that just now one and done for you?
No, I'll keep doing it. I mean, I was trying to get myself ready in case I actually did have to take it. A good thing I did a trial run, because imagine that happened with a guy, I would have been dead.
Yeah, what would you do hypothetically?
Oh my god!
I would get that and I would shoot myself.
I mean, that's
embarrassing. I mean, a girl getting her period on the sheets is one thing, but it's like, because that's like, it's gross, but it's not as gross as shit. Yeah. If that ever happened, like, how do you recover from that?
Can't. I don't think you can. I think, like Fight said, you got to burn it down. You got to shoot yourself. Or
I'm dead serious. I'm not even kidding. I just burned the house down. And I just, so it's an easy thing to blame. Like, oops, I fell asleep with a cigarette. My bad. And
with a candle in her gym, she burned that shit down.
Yeah. The way that she was just like, he acted like everybody has a home gym and everybody's burned it down before. You know, I burned that down. I mean, that was peak Britney craziness. I love how crazy she is.
She's a nightmare.
I love her.
Yeah, I love her too. I feel like she's so fucking famous. That
she's my spirit animal.
Yeah? You kind of relate to her?
I don't think you should relate to Britney. I'm gonna be the one to say it here. I think Britney is not a good role model for people to have. I think she's, and it's I don't think it's entirely her fault. I think it's probably society's number one. I think there's a lot of blame to go around here. But if you look in that woman's eyes, there's nothing in there anymore. Sure. It's gone.
I get nervous when I watch her videos, because I love her so much, especially like back then, Britney, like she was such an icon and so amazing and gorgeous and beautiful. Like, she was a whole package. And then when I see her videos, it concerns me because I feel like her voice is shaky and she just doesn't look like she's there, like you said. And it's sad, especially when you're like a huge Britney fan and you grew up with her. It's like, what the hell happened?
I get nervous when I watch her videos too, because I think one day the person who's holding her captive is going to kill her. Clearly the situation
she
we're
looks
in
like
here.
A robot.
Yeah,
she's like that. Someone has her, and they tried to kill her by burning down the gym. Didn't get her that time, but they're going to try again. And eventually, they're going to get Britney.
That's probably her father.
Yeah, that whole family jacked up. The whole thing is weird. Who's like your? Who's your number one? Is Britney your number one, Snook? Top stars?
No,
like,
I have two number ones. So my first one is Jessica Simpson. I just fucking love her. I just think she's amazing and funny, and I just love everything about her. And then my second
is Jenna Dewan. Jenna Dewan?
She's amazing.
Well, she wants to have lesbian sex with Jenna Dewan.
Who?
You want to have lesbian sex with Jenna Dewan.
I still love her.
No, I said you want to have lesbian sex with her.
I want to, yeah, and Jessica Simpson.
Oh, I know you want to have sex with Jessica Simpson, too.
I think she's amazing. If I were to be a lesbian and marry a woman, it would be either with Jessica Simpson or Jenna
Dewan. I thought Jessica Simpson was hot when she had that bikini on with the American flag and the camo pants on the cover.
She was anorexic then. She ate like a cracker a day.
When she was like in her prime, she was a rocket. She was a little underrated. People are always talking about Britney and Christina. And I was like,
yes.
Jessica over here is.
What's the Jessica Simpson song where she's in like a daisy field?
That's with the Daisy Dukes you're talking about.
No. She's in. Oh no, I'm not in it for the sex, Snooki. I'm in it for the vocals.
Oh, okay.
And he's dressed like a Midwestern doll.
Yeah.
And she's like on like one of those like single, the ones like one prop airplanes. Yeah. I'm gonna.
I know what you're talking about. And she was like, because she was so gorgeous. She was like pretty.
She's still pretty.
Dirty and shit. It was very sexy.
She's older.
But Jessica, yeah, that's true too. And so wait, but if you had to pick between Jenna and Brittany, who are you going with? You have to pick.
Jenna and Jessica, you mean?
Yeah.
To marry them or like be their best friend?
To have lesbian sex with.
I mean, I prefer to be their best friend. I can't choose. I love them both.
Who's your number one?
I'll take them both.
Who would you pick, Joey?
Right now, oh my God, and this is a really hot topic for you guys because it's sports related. Dan Vitale he's the new Patriot.
Who's this? I don't know. Fights?
They're at a sports place. That's where they work.
But no, you know nothing about sports.
I know how to hunt for Jack, and that's the ones I like.
Just like their ass.
The Packers, and now he's going over to the Patriots.
Okay. Dan Vitale, you're right. He's a fullback. I did not know the Patriots' new fullback signing, but you are correct. It's Dan Vitale.
You heard it here first.
I'm a former Gronk girl. Now Gronk is coming back, so I'm excited about that as well.
Yeah, Gronk's going back to Tampa. Gronk's going to Tampa. But yeah, you're right. Dan Vitale, went to Northwestern. He's a New England Patriot right now, fullback. I can see it.
I'm looking at him.
You know he's got a fucking hammer in his pants, that fucking big schnoz.
Wait, does a nose indicate a dick?
Deep voice and a big nose equals a big dick, big hands. And also, guys, I'm going to teach you something. The little dip in your ear there, that indicates how long and fat your dick is.
Look,
mine is regular, short and stumpy. See there?
I don't even know what hole we're going with here.
Listen here, I got a whole cavern in there, huh?
Yeah, yours looks fat.
I got a fat dick.
Oh my God.
All right, let's just
this could have changed my whole goddamn childhood. Because guess what I got made fun of in childhood for? Small hands, big nose.
Yeah.
Guess what actually fucking matters, bro.
And a deep voice means like they're like a big.
Oh my God.
I've never heard this one. Where does that come from? That's just
I don't know. I just, it's like a study that, you know, gays have, I guess. I haven't heard the study, but I've done my thesis on it and it works.
Your latest comment on one of my Instagrams, it was, we do our show Friday Night Pints, which actually we'd love to have you guys on sometime. Friday, yeah. We all get together. It's just like happy hour on
the internet.
What's that?
She does FaceTime drunks with Dean on Fridays.
Yeah, perfect. That's exactly what we do. We do it for like an hour. But Joey, you commented something about us running a train on you, I believe.
Yeah.
Let me. I'll get the exact phrase as we talk here. But
who was that were on that day?
Let me see. It was,
I think it was like Large and Clem, Grinnell and Rudy. I think if I'm judging by your Dan Vitale,
Big Cat can get it.
Big Cat, he lines up with the Dan Vitale look. But yeah. The guys on that day, I don't think Dan Vitale.
Yes, this was on April 24th, and Joey's comments was. It was a fire emoji and the face that's like, said, please run a train on me with three steak emojis, like raw.
Oh
steak.
My God.
And the people on the show were myself and John. It was Josh Wolf, Smitty, Eddie, Coley, Tyler, and Carl.
Okay. I can see that.
That's
then.
A lot of guys.
Yeah, that's a meeting.
Who's in the polo there? I want him first. That one behind him on the left with the blue.
Oh, that's this one right here?
Yeah.
Shit, I'm moving around. This guy right here?
He's talking about Smitty.
Yeah. Smitty is, he's like 6'3", played football, and D3 in football. His head is a perfect square. His head is like this block right here.
Yes, I love it.
Okay. You really
you had Andrew Cullen on last week, and he's been on my radar for quite some time as one of those ambiguously gay comedians. We have DiStefano and Giannis. Those are
DiStefano and Giannis aren't ambiguously gay.
Right. DiStefano is gayer than you are, Joey. I mean, those guys. And Andrew Cobb, you're right, is he's just waiting. He's like, just come out, dude. Just fucking say it. We all
three years now, so
DiStefano, I feel like I've seen DiStefano kiss, or maybe I've kissed him. But I've seen DiStefano kiss dudes. Like
he showed me his dick on his podcast.
He loves that dick pic.
Oh my god.
Have you seen it, Snook?
No, she's never.
No, I don't want to see anyone's dick.
Have you ever seen Joey's dick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but not
in person.
I wanted to.
She's seen it.
What, like when you're just changing clothes or something, like girls do?
Not in person, like on my phone. Or maybe she has. I don't know.
I've never seen it in person, but I've seen your jerk off video that you try to delete.
I resurfaced.
Yeah. He has a little porno video of him whacking it, and that's where I saw it.
And I shoot myself in the face, and it's going. And I used to send it around, like when I was hooking up back in the day.
It's gross.
And then I became famous, and everyone started tweeting it out and like putting it on the internet. And it's apparently.
So wait, like guys that you had sexted before, and then you blew up, and they were just like, "We're gonna put this out there."
Yeah, they did, and then I had the lawyer like take it down. Like who I thought it was, but now it's like. Hopefully it makes me famous, but we'll see. little Red Rocket's going to be able to boost the Kardashian stardom, but...
Yeah, no.
That's fucked up, though, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, that's a great point, right?
It's a shot. It goes above my head.
Ew!
What?
You're
it literally, like, flies over his shoulder, and he's like...
You're not fucking with me? You shoot it over your head? God.
I'm like sitting like this on my bed, and I'm like,
ew, stop! I can't.
And that's my forehead. I'm like, oh,
so gross.
You watched it in your own two eyes, Snooki. You saw him give himself a facial.
Yes. By mistake.
She'll
text it to like my sister and stuff.
Disgusting.
What?
When we get drunk, we steal each other's phone and we fuck with each other, like everyone does. And we'll send like filthy things to family members. She sends it to my dad.
I send it to Poppy.
That is
like when she never leaves the phone around her.
I mean, are you?
Yeah, I do not.
I'm assuming you're like very cool with your sister and your father. That's not a big deal, but
yeah, they know not to open it.
Holy shit! Could you imagine, Fredelberg? If I sent a video of you jerking off on your
ew!
Own to your father?
So I don't know who he'd kill. He'd kill one of us, though. Maybe both.
Oh, he'd kill us and then himself. He'd be like, I'm
not here. Wait, Joey, what was your first reaction when you found out that was online? Because I've often thought about it, where it's like, I'm not famous, but if somebody were taking a picture of me on the internet, someone would.
I was nervous because it used to come up. Like, and Google, if you Google my name, it would come up within the first, like, three things. So that's why I had to get the lawyer to take it off Google. But it's on Pornhub, and people can share it on all the porn sites. I don't care about that, but I don't want, like, people Googling my name for, like, business reasons. Or my nieces and nephews, when I first started getting notoriety, they were excited. Like, oh, my God, Joey's on Google. He's famous. And they would Google my name. And the last thing my fucking 10-year-old niece needs to see is that. So I had to hide to get it off the Google.
Did part of you think, like, oh, this could be big? Because I've played out every scenario in my head.
And if
that would be good PR to just be like, I'm the victim of a sex crime now.
I could use it as my crutch.
Yeah.
How is Jersey Shore going, Snook?
I don't know. I quit.
you're done with that, huh? You were just like, I'm over this life?
Yeah, I mean, I was so excited for it to come back, and we had such a good time, you know, getting together. But honestly, it's just, like, so hard because I hate leaving the kids in general. But if I'm going to, like, leave my kids to film a show, I want it to be fun, and I want us to, you know, have drinks, go out, just have a good, positive time. And I just feel like it's all drama, and, like, I'm too old for this shit. Like, I don't want to fight. I just want to enjoy my time with my friends, enjoy my time, you know, not being a mom and, like, you know, just being me for a couple hours. So it just got to the point where I was like, I'm not doing this high school shit anymore. Like, I love reality, but I don't like drama reality. I like fun reality where I go to the club, fall down, and then go home.
How old are you now, Snow?
How old am I?
Yeah. Can I 32. Ask that? 32. That's 32. That's good. Like, I'm done with drama age. That's a nice time there.
Yeah, I just don't care anymore. I don't have the time.
But don't you miss it a little bit? Like, we talk, me and Kevin talk about this all the time. We're like, I'm just hitting my, like, I don't care phase, and I fucking miss it. I miss getting irrationally angry about things. That make, I'm going to get irrationally angry about not getting irrationally angry. It's fucking bullshit, and I miss it.
Mm. Well, but
how old are you guys? I'm 31.
Oh, young youngster.
Joey's like 45.
41. How old are you? 41. You're 41? You look great for your age, bro.
41, still pooping the bed, baby. Look.
Yeah. Shit in the bed.
Shitting on dicks. Oh, God, that's funny shit. Is this what the people can expect when they listen to your podcast?
Yep.
Yeah, this is what goes down, huh? It's just you talking about crazy shit and Snooki going, ah, you're gross, Joey.
Yeah, that's
a mess. And we make fun of celebrities, and we do we give bad advice to people. And
yes, we do that too.
Yep.
Speaking of celebrities, and we kind of talked about pop stars a little earlier. A debate we had, actually it wasn't a debate because Kevin and I aligned. Are you NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
I'm NSYNC.
Now wait, we're talking about music and not who you want to have run a train on you, Joe.
Both.
You are, yeah, and you said NSYNC?
NSYNC, yeah.
I've always been NSYNC, but lately as an older woman, I just love Backstreet Boys more.
Yeah, I'm the same way as you, Snook. You and I are fucking seeing eye to eye today.
Like growing up, I was NSYNC all the way, and then now I'm like Backstreet Boys. I think it's because they're on tour, and I always want to go see them because it makes me feel like I'm 12 again. So yeah, Backstreet Boys.
I was Backstreet Boys on TRL. I'm Backstreet Boys now. I'm Backstreet Boys for life. BSB is one
we
of the greatest.
We should all go to a concert together.
Oh, how much fun would that fucking be? Don't say that shit. You don't mean it. I'll do it.
I'm there because I went twice stage. And I blacked out twice.
You called on stage with them. Remember? You went on stage with them.
Yeah, and I peed my pants. I'm not kidding.
You shit the bed and you pee your pants.
I crossed my legs because I started peeing. Nick and Brian touched my arm.
So you weren't like holding it. You weren't drunk. They just touched you and you peed?
Yeah. I crossed my legs and everyone could tell and they were laughing and I didn't care.
Were you drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a stupid
question. It was in Vegas. It was like bachelor party.
Did you pee because you were like shit faced, or like if you were sober, would you have peed?
Yeah, no, I peed because I was so excited. I like
like a puppy dog.
I was just gonna say he's like we had that with our puppy for a long time. Every time we came home, he peed on the floor. I was like, come on, you're
if I was a dog, that's what I would do.
All right, well, Jersey
Wait,
Shore.
Before we let you go, I did find the song. It's Jessica Simpson, I Want to Love You Forever. That one.
That's like
a masterpiece.
Yep.
10,000 lifetimes forever. Yep.
You sound just like her.
I think so. I think so.
Yes. I love her.
All right, so I'd love to get you guys in for Friday Night Pints one night in a couple weeks if you guys are down. And we can maybe tell more stories about peeing and pooping. How's that sound?
I got a bunch. I you didn't even scratch the surface with me. We got time. Time to talk about peeing and pooping yourself.
God. So the podcast is happening with Snooki and Joey. You can find it on iTunes and everywhere else. And Family Vacation is on MTV with Jersey Shore. So thank you guys so much. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy your
Thank you guys. Love you guys.
See ya.
Look at what you see in her face. The mirror of your dream.